The Holy Gospel from St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, hope, peace, joy, and love from Jesus, our Emmanuel. Amen. Well, since last Sunday, we've stepped back in time about 33 years in our biblical story, from the adult Jesus communicating with John the Baptizer in prison, now back to a pregnant Mary and a perplexed Joseph upon hearing of the coming baby Jesus. Last Sunday, we heard from John from his prison cell, and he was asking the haunting question, "Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" To which, of course, the answer was yes. Jesus was and is the promised one, even though he may not have turned out to be exactly who John expected. Signs of Jesus' reign weren't lightning bolts or massive government overthrows, but the signs were healing of the sick and justice for the poor. And now in today's backstory, we hear glimpses of how John's expectations were formed, of the promises that came with Jesus' arrival, promises repeated generation after generation, promises for a people in waiting. For some of us, today's story might be so familiar we can tell it by heart, and maybe we do tell it to children by heart. We meet Mary, a young woman engaged to a guy named Joseph. Suddenly, Mary's found to be pregnant with a child from the Holy Spirit. Joseph considers quietly leaving his impregnated fiancé, but instead an angel visits him in a dream. The angel says, "Wait, Joseph, stick around. Don't be afraid to marry her. She is telling the truth. The child in her womb is from the Holy Spirit. She'll have a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus." The gospel writer says the birth of Mary's son will fulfill the words we just heard from the prophet Isaiah, that a young woman will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be named Emmanuel. Following the angel's visit, Joseph indeed marries Mary, and when she gives birth to the child, Joseph names him Jesus, just as the angel told him to do. It may be a familiar story, but it's certainly not a usual one. If this is how God wanted to come into the world in human flesh, God certainly chose a roundabout way, or a circuitous route, as my dad would say. God chose to come among an unlikely cast of characters through a pretty bizarre storyline, which is good news for us because, well, look around. We're all an unlikely cast of characters, and our lives are often bizarre, if not difficult, grief-stricken, lonely, and uncertain. And yet God comes to be with us. From the start of Matthew's gospel and throughout the Bible, names are significant details. Names represent family heritage, a particularly important detail for Jewish identity. Names also represent promises, both promises fulfilled and promises yet to be fulfilled. Now let me tell you about our dear friends Anna and Kurt and their baby boy Bernie. Anna and Kurt are some of the most adventurous people we know. A few summers ago, we ventured into the Boundary Waters in northern Minnesota with them, and they served as our well-qualified guides. They taught us how to properly paddle as an efficient canoe team and how to hoist our food bag in the air so bears wouldn't eat it or us. Anna and Kurt love and respect the earth and the beauty of its open spaces. It's a huge part of what they love about each other and what we love about them. So it was especially fitting that just over 3 months ago, when Anna and Kurt welcomed a little boy into their family, they named him Bernie after Anna's great-great-uncle, who was one of the civil engineers to design and build the Going to the Sun Road in Glacier National Park. If you've ever driven that road, you know it's both a miracle of engineering and a spectacle of natural wonder. Or if you've been a passenger on that road, as I have, you've been glad you were not the one driving. As Anna wrote in little Bernie's birth announcement, "Kurt and I hope these beautiful places will shape his life as much as they have shaped ours." Bernie's name represents where he comes from and his parents' dreams of where he will go, of who he will become. His name is a heritage and a promise. And now I just have to brag about the onesie we found for him. Oh, it's very dark. You can't. So it's the state of Montana, and it says Little Explorer. In the verses directly before today's reading, Matthew spells out the genealogy of Jesus, a list of names that represent an even more unlikely cast of characters than Mary and Joseph, and maybe even more unlikely than you and me. The list is full of foreigners, and not one but four women. And not just women, but women associated with prostitution, adultery, and other circumstances causing outsider status. Jesus' own genetic line is not a list of ancient Near Eastern royalty, to say the least. In the Gospel of Matthew, names tell us where Jesus comes from and the promise of who Jesus will be. His names are a heritage and a promise. In today's reading, the angel says, "You are to name him Jesus, for the child will save the people from their sins. This is to fulfill the prophecy that the woman shall bear a child, and he shall be named Emmanuel." Well, as one of my favorite seminary professors, Rolf Jacobson, says, that's like saying the birth of Rolf took place in order to fulfill the promise that they shall call his name Eric. Isaiah, you can laugh, that's funny. Isaiah predicted that the child shall be called Emmanuel. But they didn't call him Emmanuel. They called him Jesus. So what's the deal here? Is Jesus some sort of really non-intuitive nickname for Emmanuel? Well, I'm inclined to think that with these two names, the storyteller wants us to know who this baby is and the promise of who he will become. So what do these names mean? And what do they reveal about the child in Mary's womb? Well, let's find out with a quick and dirty Hebrew lesson. You can also cheat and look in your Bibles, but this is more fun. So this is the word, the name Emmanuel, you're looking at. As you may know, Hebrew reads from right to left, and those larger characters are the consonants. The dots inside and under and the sort of T shape under, those are all vowels, which would have been added later since the Hebrew scriptures were written without vowels. So we'll go from right to left and break down this word for you. These first two letters, so you know the right, that's first. Two letters is im, and that very first letter is an ayin, which is sort of a placeholder consonant in Hebrew. It's almost like a vowel, which can help explain why we see Emmanuel written with an I or an E, because it's an ayin and there's no direct translation. So we got married in Emmanuel Lutheran Church with an I, so I chose I. Im, so that means with. Next is nu, which means us. And then finally, El, which means God. You may have heard the word Elohim, which has a similar root. So all together, it's with us is God, Emmanuel. The name reveals that the child will be God with us, God among us, God here in the flesh. And the name with us is God means God is with us. Present, now, not just future, God will be with us. Well, the other name we hear in this passage originates from the Hebrew name Yehoshua. I'm not going to break that one down as much because you're going to fall asleep. But this means the Lord is salvation, which is Joshua. Yehoshua becomes Joshua in English. As the angel says, the child will be salvation for the people. And of course, we believe that salvation will come through this baby in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Well, eventually the Hebrew name Yehoshua becomes the Greek name Jesus. So now that's Greek left to right, which means Jesus in English. So what's in a name or in two names? Well, in this case, everything. Matthew tells us that this child to be born will be God with us. Emmanuel, God with us here now. God with us between two funerals, for baby boy Caden and for Pastor Bob, both beloved saints of Spirit of Joy. God with us in death and in life. God with us in the joy of Christmas lights and in the bleak midwinter of blue Christmas. God with us in laughter and in sorrow. God with us in Aleppo and Sioux Falls, in New York and D.C., on treacherous highways and in sanctuaries, in homeless shelters and beside cozy fireplaces. Emmanuel, God with us here, now, and forever. Matthew's gospel ends with the resurrected Jesus saying, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus, our forever Emmanuel, our God is always with us. And the child to be born will be Jesus, the Lord of salvation, the one who will save us, the one who will not leave us with death or destruction, the one who will put an end to violence, the one who is with us and who delivers us, the one who brings life where there is death, who brings a new future when there is an end, the one who brings white helmet rescue workers to the rubble of Aleppo, the one who calls us to participate in the unexpected reign of Jesus, to bring peace where there's violence, to bring justice to the poor, to bring comfort to the grieving, to sing hymns in the silence of the bleak midwinter. This is the one for whom we wait, God with us, God who saves. And this is the one who is already here, always, to the end of the age. Thanks be to God. Amen.